we're going to be talking about, I'm going to talk about that. And then the other speakers, I don't know what they have, but it's okay. Whatever God brings to us, we receive it. God can always use any of us anytime, you know. So we are going to be blessed. Everyone is going to be blessed. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to be talking about divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of encounters in the Bible, but we're going to be talking about divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for tonight, we're going to narrow down to what Jesus did after resurrection. Jesus lived for 40 days before he finally ascended on Mount Olives. He spent 40 days on earth before he finally ascended on Mount Olives. Between these 40 days, he did so many things, and those are some of the things we're going to be touching. The first thing he did was he appeared to so many of the disciples, which Mama was touching yesterday. I think she touched that too. He appeared to over 500 people. But first of all, he appeared to the disciples, and then the 12 disciples, then John and James and Peter, and even Thomas, the doubting Thomas. He appeared, and he was telling Thomas, "Say, Thomas, you are still doubting? You are telling people that unless you put your fingers in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus Christ, you will not believe." Then Jesus said, "Blessed are those that believe. They haven't seen it, but they believe." See, doubting Thomas. He was doubting. He said he must pierce his hands at the nail pierced of Jesus' hands, you know, by his side, to be very sure that Jesus actually resurrected, you know. Even doubting Thomas. He met doubting Thomas. After resurrection, he spoke even with the disciples. He had even ate with them and broke bread with them. If you look at, there's a particular instance we want to look into in Luke chapter 24. St. Luke's Gospel chapter 24 from verse 13 to the end. There's a particular instance there. I want us to look into it a little closer. If you read that passage, it's about two men who are followers of Jesus Christ who also went to the tomb. They also went to the tomb hearing that Jesus was going to resurrect, or he has resurrected. And so they didn't see the body. All they were hearing from the angel was that he's risen. He's no longer here. And these two men began to combat on their way to Emmaus. They have left the tomb now. They are going to a place called Emmaus. And on their way, they began to combat about what has just happened, about the resurrection. They were talking about Jesus and how he promised that there was going to be some resurrection. And they were a little confused. They were not too sure of the event. But in their conversation, they were talking about it as something that must have happened. It must have happened, even though they were not too sure. So while they were talking like that, this aspect of this time makes me laugh. While they were talking like that, Jesus now came into their midst. If you read that scripture, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 13 to the end. Jesus now came into their midst and then joined the conversation. And then he started by, you know, not introducing himself. He didn't want to shock them or make them to know. So he was just talking with them. And they were telling Jesus Christ, they didn't know they were talking to Jesus Christ. They didn't know they were talking to Jesus Christ already. And Jesus was talking with them. They said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem, in Israel? Don't you know what has happened? All these things we're talking about. So Jesus took time to explain these things from the scriptures and make them understand. There is something I want to pull out in this passage. You know, Abraham entertained angels unaware, and the scripture refers to that particular incident. You see, be careful what you are doing in this life, say, because you might be dealing with an angel, you might be dealing with God, you might be dealing with a representative from heaven. You don't even know who you are dealing with. So there was a story back in Genesis. Abraham saw two men walking past his house. So the Bible says that Abraham called them in. He didn't even know them. And he gave them water and gave them food. And after that, not knowing that these two men were angels sent from heaven, and after they ate and drank, they spoke a word of prophecy. Say, you, Sarah, you're going to be blessed with a child. You're going to be blessed with a child. We are going to Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to destroy that city. Heaven is angry with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then they reveal everything to Abraham. But Abraham, when he was inviting those men to his house, he didn't really know them. And not knowing that these are angels from heaven. Now, I want us to be very careful here. This is very serious. Because I'm trying to link it up with what happened in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 13 to the end. These two men were talking about Jesus, not knowing that Jesus was already with them there. You see? And then I noticed that there are a lot of instances like this in the scripture. A lot of instances like this. You know? And then the Bible now said, be very careful what you do in this life, because you may be dealing with angels or messengers from heaven. You may be dealing with, you know, with God himself. You don't even know, because Jesus himself said, on the last day, I will say to some people, I was sick and you came to help me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was hungry, you fed me. I was in the hospital, I was in prison, and you came to help me. Then he was like, wait, Jesus, I've never seen you. Then Jesus said, when you did it to one of these people, you did it to me. See, so in this life, we need to be very careful what we are doing. You don't even know who you are dealing with. You don't even know. You know? Then the scripture now warns us, say, you may be talking to angels unaware. You were already talking to Jesus. You didn't know you were already talking to Jesus. You know, so we have to take note, particular note of that. That is very, very important. Quickly, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 10. The Apostle Paul was reporting. He said Jesus appeared to the disciples. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12 disciples. And then he appeared to over 500 believers. Some of them had died before Apostle Paul was writing this. Some have already gone to be with the Lord. So we're still alive as at the time Apostle Paul was writing this passage. He appeared and he ministered to them. But there was one particular occasion when he appeared in their midst, and he gave them instructions, told them to meet him at the Mount Galilee, Mount Olive, and he ate and drank with them. And then the Bible says he blessed them. See? He prayed over them. and blessed. See? So Jesus spent another 40 days after Resurrection Sunday. Jesus spent another 40 days on earth. And all he was doing was appearing to people, talking with people, ministering to people, praying over people, blessing them until the 40 days expired. And then on Mount Olives, he ascended and went to heaven. But for tonight, we are majoring on that 40 days. Now, if Apostle Paul met a preacher on his way to Damascus, he wouldn't have been saved, because Apostle Paul was a very hardened person. In Acts of Apostles chapter 9, he was still the Saul of Tarsus. He was still a criminal. And he was on his way to Damascus to go and kill Christians. He wanted to go and persecute them and kill them. On his way to Damascus, he had divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that transformed him from being a murderer to a missionary, an apostle, and a preacher of the gospel. The same gospel he persecuted, he later preached it until he died. That tells you the power of this gospel. Now, that was divine encounter, because Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus in Acts of Apostles chapter 9, from verse 1 to 15. The Apostle Paul met Jesus Christ in person, divine encounter. Divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, it is the best experience you can have, to meet with your God. Prepare to meet thy God. Be ready to meet thy Lord. Be ready before it's too late. Are you ready to be thy Lord? Prepare to meet your God. Are you ready to meet your God? Be ready before it's too late. Prepare to meet thy Lord. That's somewhere in Amos, the book of Amos of Josiah. Prepare to meet thy Lord. Are you ready to meet him? You need to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. You will experience salvation. You will experience healing. You will experience deliverance. He's going to give you a new life like the Apostle Paul, divine encounter. A man of God said, anyone who met the Lord Jesus Christ or met God or met the Holy Spirit was never the same again. It's a very powerful experience when you have divine encounter with the Lord God Almighty. It is the best thing that can happen to you in this life. And I pray everybody will have that kind of experience. Oh, yes, it's very necessary. It will turn you around. You remember Jacob in Genesis 32? Genesis 32, from verse 22 to 32, you see Jacob ran away from home because he was having trouble with his brother Esau, whom he tricked. And so he ran away from home. And he was running to another city when he encountered an angel. He wrestled with God. He wrestled with God and prevailed. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. He wrestled with God. And when he wrestled, it's a spiritual experience. The angel broke his thigh. And that was the treatment he needed. The breaking of the tie was symbolism of the breaking of his Adamic nature. The, you know, Jacob was a trickster. Jacob was a con man. Jacob was a wayori. He was a fraudulent. So that nature had to be treated in that wrestling in the spirit. The Bible says that tie was broken, symbolizing the brokenness of the old life of Jacob, the old life of being fraudulent, being trickish. He had that encounter when he ran away from home, and that changed him because his name was changed here and there. Your name is no longer Jacob. Your mother gave you the name Jacob. I'm from heaven. I'm the angel from heaven. And I've come to change your name. Your name is no longer Jacob. You are not the trickster. You are not the supplanter. Your life has changed as from today. Jacob, you are no longer Jacob. You are now Israel. See, these encounters always transform people's lives. Oh, I pray that you will have divine encounter. Hey, everyone listening to this message tonight, I pray that you will have divine connection, divine visitation from heaven. God will visit you and do something new in your life. Hey, when God visits you, your life will never be the same. When Jesus comes into your life will never be the same. Hey, Rebosaya, Yandoro Blogodu. One day Jesus Christ was very busy ministry, and he saw Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was on top of the tree trying to catch a glimpse of Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus because he was short. Zacchaeus climbed on top of the sycamore tree so that he could have a good look at Jesus. So he climbed up there. So as Jesus was passing, he spotted Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your home right now. I've got something to do in your house. Let's go. Let's go. So Zacchaeus took Jesus Christ to his home. And that very day, Zacchaeus repented and he even did restitution. And he got salvation, him and his family and the whole house. They gave their life to Jesus Christ. And Jesus blessed all of them. And Zacchaeus was no longer a trickster, no longer a fraudulent, no longer, you know, that changed him. That was divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have that experience, you will never be the same person again because you met your Savior, you met your Lord, your Redeemer, you met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You have just met him. You can't be the same person anymore. No, no, you can't be. You can't be. Hey, terrible star. Yandoro blogodoya. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, if you read from the beginning to the end, you see John the Revelator, the Apostle John, the man who wrote the book of Revelation. He was on exile to the island of Patmos. He was on exile into the island of Patmos. So he was in a lonely, quiet place. While he was there, he had an encounter. The messenger from heaven touched him and began to give him instructions. And that was how the book of Revelation was written. See? Divine encounter. Divine encounter. I would rather you have divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. You rather have divine encounter because Jesus Christ, during these 40 days on earth, he was appearing to them in their homes, in their families. He was pronouncing blessings upon them. He was ministering to them during these 40 days on earth. My prayer today is that the Lord Jesus Christ will come into your life, come into your home, come into your family, come into your business, come into every aspect of you. May you have supernatural divine encounter, divine visitation from heaven. Hey! Arabasaya! Erekeboya! Somebody is going to have divine visitation. Hey! The Lord Jesus is going to appear to somebody. Arabasa! God is going to visit you. I remember Jacob when they were leaving Egypt. When they were leaving Egypt, Jacob spoke a word to his son Joseph. He said, Joseph, surely the Lord shall visit you and he will take you from this land to the land of promise. When you are going, take everybody along and take me take me out of this land. You know, that was Jacob. He was speaking prophetically to his son Joseph. He said, Joseph, surely the Lord shall visit you people in this land of Egypt. You are all slaves here. But surely the Lord shall visit you people on this ground. And he's going to take you from here to the land of promise. When you leave this place, take everybody along. Take me along. If I have died, just take my body out of this place. You know, there is visitation from heaven. I have met many men of God who have had experiences like this. And when they describe the experience, I knew that was a real visitation, a real encounter with the Almighty God. I tell you, it is a blessing for the Lord Jesus Christ to walk into your life, to walk into your home, into your family, into your business, into your job, into every area of you, and begin to pronounce blessings and begin to pray for you. Because that was what Jesus was doing during 40 days. You know, he was blessing them, you know, ate with them and drank with them and gave them specific instructions on what to do and so on and so forth. Hey, my prayer tonight is that you will have divine visitation from heaven. You have divine encounter with the Almighty God. May the Lord Jesus come your way. Hey, may the Lord visit you. There was a story of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. He was just hopeless and nothing to do. While he was there, he heard that Jesus Christ was passing by. Ah, Rababa. He heard that Jesus Christ was passing by. And so he decided to make good use of the opportunity. As Jesus was passing by, blind Bartimaeus, who had been a beggar all his life, he began to cry out, Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus did not answer. Why? You were calling him the son of David. You see, that is not going to... You see, the other day we were talking about entering into the presence of God. We were talking about entering into the presence, approach, the method of approach. Method of approach matters. Blind Bartimaeus was calling Jesus, Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He said it two times. Jesus did not answer him. Why? You know, I told you the other day, I said there is a method of approach. There is a method of approach. While he was calling him down, son of David, Jesus Christ was just looking at him. Didn't even answer him. Then on the third time, blind Bartimaeus said, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me. I want to see. My eyes to be open. So Jesus turned and looked at him and said, What do you want me to do for you? He said, that my eyes might be open. And then Jesus Christ prayed over those eyes, and Bartimaeus began to see. That was a visitation. That was a visitation. Oh, yeah, Jesus is ready to visit you and your family right now. Jesus is ready to visit you because the book of Revelation chapter 3, he said, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking, knocking, knocking. If you will open, he will come in and stop with you. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart right now. If you will open for him, he will come in and stop with you, which means Jesus is very willing to come to your heart. He's very willing to come into your home. He's very willing to come into your family. Jesus is very willing to come into your business, into your education, into your church, into your ministry. Jesus is very willing to come into that marriage that is heading for the rocks. Jesus is very willing. But have you opened the door? He said, if you will open your heart, open your life, he is ready to come in and dwell with you and stop with you. You need to make a decision today to open your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's still passing by. He's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. You will find it's not too busy to hear your heart cry. It's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. You will find it's not too busy to hear your heart cry. It's passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. I say goodbye. God is showing me someone, you are on crutches. You are on crutches, you are limping. You hurt, one of your feet is hurting really bad. And you are on crutches, you are just limping, limping. I want you to put your right hand on your head. Wherever you are joining us on this broadcast, just put your right hand on your head. Put your right hand on your head. Let the healing power of God come through your spirit, soul, and body right now. Yes. Let Jesus touch you with his miracle working power. Yes. Let healing virtue flow into your spirit, soul, and body, into your bones and marrow, to your blood. Receive the healing touch of Jesus right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, visit that family right now. Holy Ghost, visit that person right now. Yes, let there be divine visitation, divine encounter in the life of that person. Whosoever you are, walking on crutches, the Lord Jesus is touching you right now. You can as well drop those crutches and begin to claim your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord that healed thee. He is the Lord that healed thee. He is the Lord your healer. He sent his word to heal your diseases. Is the Lord your healer? Someone with a back pain, terrible back pain, you can't even bend over. Yes, someone with a back pain. Yes, yes, yes. Put your right hand on your head right now. Let the healing power of God flow through your being. Hey, kebuya, back pain be healed. Pains in the waist condition, back pain, back troubles. Receive the healing touch of Jesus right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Ha, Rakabai. Yes, there's someone else with a heart condition. Heart condition. Put your right hand on that spot. Yes, heart condition. It's like your heart is about to burst open. And heart, this is heart attack. Yes, put your right hand on top of your heart. Let Jesus touch it right now. Let Jesus touch that heart condition. Yes. Yes, Jesus, touch that heart now. Touch that heart. Yes, Lord, Jesus, touch that heart, that broken heart. That heart that is about to have heart attack. Jesus, touch that heart with your healing power. Let there be deliverance upon Mount Zion right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I can feel it here. I can feel it here. The healing power of God has just gone through your body. I can feel it here. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Rekaba. Thank you, Jesus. We give him praise. We give him praise. We give him praise. Yes, he is the Lord that healed thee. Is the Lord your healer? He sent his word to heal your disease. Is the Lord your healer? Thank you, Jesus. Arthritis in the feet. Yes, arthritis in the feet. Jesus is touching those legs right now. Jesus is touching those legs right now with his healing power. Arthritis is removed in the name of Jesus. Hara Basaya. Yanduru Blogodugo. Ebre Kendiria. Iblanda. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm going to stop here. And we have Lady Evangelist Olainka Lawal. She's going to be sharing with us whatever God has placed in her heart before I come back in again. Yes, so over to you, woman of God.
Yes, sir. Today is the Resurrection Day. As
yes.
You know, resurrection has the power to give life to the dead. We
Amen.
Have a risen Savior. He rose from the dead exactly the first day of the week when Mary in John chapter 20 went to the tomb, empty tomb. Mary Magdalene, she appreciated all what God has done for her. She was in the tomb and found empty tomb that Jesus Christ has risen. All this resurrection power we have been seeing, the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection
yes.
of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ. The main thing we gain from it is using the power that is in the name of Jesus. So
yes.
I'm going to discuss about the power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because after all this resurrection, ascension, intercessory of Jesus Christ, the main thing we hold on to is using the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we are told that the name of Jesus Christ is a strong tower. We run into it and we are saved. Power of resurrection life gives life to the body. The power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we gain from all the ascension, the death of Jesus Christ,
yes.
and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the most powerful and anointed name in heaven, the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Man.
The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. That's power of resurrection, because the leg that has been dead for a long time, life went into it. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him, this man stand here before you all. Nearly all healing is about the resurrection power. We know about Lazarus that died and Mary said, if you were here, my brother would not have died. And he said, do you believe that I'm the resurrection and life? And Jesus called is the power of resurrection and life on Lazarus. Lazarus woke up. Garment of death was taken off his body,
yes,
and he was alive. The power in the name of Jesus, that's one of the benefits of resurrection we are enjoying. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of that Lord Jesus Christ that died and resurrected shall be saved.
Yes.
When we call on the wonderful name of this Jesus Christ that rose from the dead on a daily basis in our prayer and meditate on this name, immediately the supernatural happens in our lives, whether we know it or not. Resurrection power is a supernatural power. This name of Jesus is the name the Almighty Father reckoned with. And this is the name the Holy Spirit himself can hear, speak, and declare to us. It is a great privilege for us to study and be acquainted with the distinguished and marvelous name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been studying the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the intercessory of Jesus Christ. So
yes,
that will make us to be able to use this name for our need, because this is a wonderful name.
Yes.
Remember that the name of Jesus Christ is power, and resurrection too is power that deliver from the grave. So when we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, it is a prayer. The most powerful power is power of resurrection and life. Then the second power is prayer using the name of Jesus. By simply calling is the name of Jesus, you can be healed. Healing is nothing but power of resurrection, because healing is something, part of the body that is already dead. But when it is healed, it comes alive. When you can call the name of Jesus, you are healed from all illnesses, delivered from all evils. And we are closer to him. We are closer to him by the power of resurrection and life. You should start calling the wonderful and marvelous name of Jesus Christ from today aloud in our house, in our car, anywhere we are in life. Let us open our mouth and use this name. And when we call this name, it will show supernaturally to address our situation. This is why the only name that can be called upon as a prescription, the name of Jesus will fix all things in heaven and on earth and below. So the name of Jesus is power, and this name is in the power of resurrection. This name of Jesus is what makes the power of resurrection to be powerful. So may God make us learn to be able to use this name in Jesus' name, and power of resurrection upon all our lives. The power of resurrection do wonders in my life. Today do wonders in my life. The power of resurrection do wonders in my life. Today do wonders in my life. Today, in Jesus' name, the power of resurrection and life will do wonders in the life of all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That's what I have for today.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. That was a good one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, there are some points I still want to touch before we round up. In 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 12 to 19, the Apostle Paul made it clear, say, if there is no resurrection, then there is no Christianity. As I was reading through that part today, that 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, it says, if there is no resurrection, then we are of all men most miserable. If all this evangelism and soul winning and prayer and fasting and all these things, there's no resurrection, there is no rapture, then the whole thing is fraud. But thank God there is resurrection. Hallelujah. And of course it took place, which means there is a rapture, there is resurrection. We are not wasting our time. We are not wasting our lives. I tell you, we are sowing in the kingdom, and we shall reap in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 to 19. If ye then be risen with Christ, speak those things which are above. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, speak those things which are above. If you we're buried with him in baptism, and we rose up to live for him. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. So we were buried with him in baptism. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, made him your personal Lord, you want to serve him and worship him, you want to follow him, you believe that you also died with him in baptism. Baptism means you are identifying with the death of Christ. That's what water baptism means. You are being dipped in that water, and then you are pulled up, you identify with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism means. Some people don't understand. Baptism means that water baptism, when you are baptized by immersion in the water, what it means is you are identifying with the death of Jesus Christ, with the burial of Jesus Christ. You are identifying with his resurrection when you came out of that water to live a new life in Christ Jesus. So if anyone be in Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is very important. If we died with him, we shall reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. If we died with Jesus Christ, in baptism, we died with him. He said, we shall reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. If you died in Christ Jesus, you die, you identify with the death and burial of Jesus Christ, and then you came out of that world, you are identifying with a new life in Christ. See, if we died with him, we shall reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. So the burial of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, meant so much. We are raised with him, and we are now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and he's interceding for us right now. What else is more than that? What else? Who will you serve if you will not serve Jesus Christ? Where will you go to if you will not follow Jesus Christ? Who will you follow? Then Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and very few are finding it. And then he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are going there. I pray that you will not follow the broad way. The broad way of telling lies and stealing evil, immorality, Sodom and Gomorrah lies. The broad way of sexual perversion, the broad way of promiscuity, the broad way of stealing and bribery, the broad way of prostitution and harlotism. Do not follow the broad way that leads to hellfire. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, the way of righteousness, the way of holiness, the way of doing the will of God, the way of following the Bible, the way of following Jesus. Narrow is that way that lead to eternal life. And very, very few people are following it. Our prayer tonight is that we follow the narrow way that leads to eternal life. And Jesus said, the word says, there is a way that seemeth right unto you, but the end is destruction. See, the rich man went to hell not because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he rejected Jesus Christ. Lazarus was poor, but he loved his God and he served his God and he worshiped his God. The rich man thought that because he was rich, he did not need God. He did not need Jesus. He did not need the Holy. He did not need to repent. He did not need to turn away from his wicked ways. And then the Bible says, the rich man died, and Lazarus also died. When Lazarus died, the angels were waiting for Lazarus, and they carried him into the bosom of Abraham in heaven. And he was enjoying heaven, and everything was okay. Then the rich man also died. Satan and his demons, they came to carry him to hellfire. Because that's what happens when you die. When you die without Jesus Christ, Satan is your master. So whom you give yourself, servants to obey, is servants ye are. If you follow Satan, you follow demons, you follow sin, unrighteousness, unholiness, perverse life, Sodom and Gomorrah life. When you follow that broad way, when you die, Satan and his demons, they will come and carry you and take you into hell fire, the lake of fire, bottomless pit. Fire is burning there day and night. The flames died not, the worms died not. They will be eating you like this. For millions and billions of years, you will be suffering in hell fire. And while he was there, the rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in heaven. The rich man said, Lazarus, you are my friend. Ah, you remember when we were in the earth, you are my friend. You know what? Just dip your hand in the water and just drop a drop of water into my mouth. That would be okay for me. Ah, that would be okay for you. Are you sure of what you are talking about? Now, this is a bottle of beer pack. It has this water in it. When I drink this water and finish it, this is not all the water I'm going to drink today. I see, when I take dinner tonight, I'm still going to drink another water. So this water is even not enough. This is not all the water I'm going to drink today. But the rich man is a hellfire because the way the hellfire was burning and fire was burning him, he said, Lazarus, do me a favor. Just dip your hand in the water and let me have just a drop of water. You see, it tells us the suffering he's going through. A drop of water cannot even help you. Even this one. If I send this one to hellfire to go and meet that rich man, and that thing, if he has to drink this, this is still not enough for him. So he wanted just a drop of water from Lazarus to cool his heart. See, that tells you how torturous, trauma, hellfire look like. Is that where you want to go? This is a serious matter. Where will you spend your eternity? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no one is holy. Everyone has erred. That is why Jesus came, suffered, and died for you on Golgotha Hill over 2,000 years ago, gave his life, shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Then in Hebrews chapter 2, he said, how shall you escape hell? If you neglect such a great salvation, this great redemption, this substitutional death of Jesus Christ, we have been talking about so great salvation, so great redemption that Jesus provided for you on Calvary tree. How shall you escape hellfire if you neglect such a great salvation? Let me tell you this. The worst thing you can do to yourself is for you to reject Jesus Christ for being your personal Lord and Savior. I will say it again. The worst thing you can do to yourself in this life is to reject Jesus Christ for being your personal Lord and Savior. It is the worst thing you did to yourself. Then John chapter 1 verse 12. They as many as received Christ, so then God gave power to become the sons of God. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 12. They as many as received Jesus Christ into their hearts, into their lives, you open your heart and let Jesus come in and dwell in you. Turn away from your wicked way, repent of your sins, and give yourself to the Lord Jesus. As many that receive Christ, to them God gave power to become the sons and daughters of God. What are you doing? Are you like the rich man who did not value God, did not value salvation, did not value eternity? Where will you spend your eternity? Let me tell you this. A few days ago, I was looking at the newspaper. I saw somebody live for 114 years. She's still alive. She was celebrating 114 years birthday. I said, good, no problem. You can even live for 150 years. I'm told that in some part of the world, some people live for 130-something years. The highest can be maybe 150 years. You live for 150 years, maybe. But it is appointed unto man once to die. You must die. You must die. There is nobody is going to escape. The word of God says, everyone must die. The soul that sinneth shall die. Oh, yes. There's no escaping. Now, the question comes. When you die, where are you going to? Where you are going to is even more important. Because where you are going to spend millions of years there. If you are going to heaven with Jesus, then you are going to spend all your life. That's why it's eternity in heaven. You spend all your life in heaven with Jesus Christ, with God. But when you miss heaven and you are in hellfire like that rich man, you will be there screaming and gnashing of teeth day and night, 24/7. The ones diet not, and you will be there. And you'll be begging for water. Oh, a drop of water. Oh, Lazarus, just drop the water. Ah, what will that drop of water really do for you? What will it really do for you? And then in answer, the rich man said, Lazarus, you know what? Send some people from heaven to go to the earth and preach the gospel to the people in the earth so that my people will not come here. This place where I am, I don't want my people to come and suffer here like this. So therefore, Lazarus, you see, he kept sending Lazarus' message. I think Lazarus is a house boy. Lazarus is not being honored in heaven. He's now a boss in heaven, enjoying life in heaven. Are you your rich man, you with your riches, are in the lake of fire. Keep on sending people message. Continue to send message. He said, Lazarus, the next thing I want you to do is to send some preacher to go to the earth. They should go to planet earth and preach to those people there so that my people, they will not come here and suffer with the earth. What concern you with that? See? There are billionaires and trillionaires and billionaires. And all I see in the newspaper is the richest man on earth, richest woman on earth, richest man on this, richest rich. Stupid! Perish with your money. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Who cares? Peter said, perish with your money. That's what Apostle Peter said in the Bible. And I like that. Apostle Peter. He told them, perish with your money. Who cares? When you have not repented of your sin, you have not turned away from your wicked ways. You heap money and give to prostitutes. And you say you are going to heaven. Which heaven are you going to? You carry $30 million, Peter, carry money, go and give to prostitutes for nothing's sake. And you say, and we are preaching gospel here, nobody is concerned about that. What you must do is to heap money and go and give to prostitutes. Now you will soon be in jail for stupidity and foolishness. And many people are like that. Apostle Peter says, perish with your money. I don't care. Who asks you for, who needs your money? Who is calling you? Get out! That's what the Apostle Peter said in the Bible. Perish with your money. In hellfire, the rich man began to beg. Not for a bottle of water this time around. He wasn't begging for a whole bottle of water. The rich man, because he was suffering, he was asking for just a drop of water. Who is going to leave heaven? Who is going to leave heaven to come to hellfire and give you water and then go back to heaven? Who authorized that? Whom are you talking to? The Bible says that Lazarus was already in the bosom of Abraham. Though he was poor, he had nothing where he was on earth, he did not miss God, he did not meet Jesus, he did not miss heaven, he was already with his God. And then you are here sending him message as if you are the creator of Lazarus. Who asks you to go and send Lazarus money? Send Lazarus message. Who asks you to do that? Perish with your money. That was what Apostle Peter. They perish with your money. I don't care. No? Go and give your money to prostitutes. Keep your $30,000 together. Go and carry them and give to prostitutes. And continue your life with prostitutes. They will send you to jail, all those prostitutes. To be jailed with sorcery. We are talking about Jesus Christ, talking about the word of God. You are not interested. You don't want to repent. You don't want to turn away from your wicked ways. All you do is to heap money and go and give to prostitutes. At the end of the day, you will be hell, and all those prostitutes will be laughing at you, laughing. See? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We must be very careful in this world. The worst thing that can happen to you is that you miss heaven. You miss heaven because of your carelessness. And when you miss heaven, that's it. You have missed heaven, that's it. You can't go and call Lazarus and be calling Lazarus to come and give you water inside hellfire. God did not create Lazarus for you to be commanding him to go and bring water to bring to you inside hellfire. Lazarus was not destined to be in that hellfire with you. You are the one who put yourself there. Lazarus followed Jesus Christ and he went to heaven. And you spent all your righteous life, adulterous and sexual immorality, like drunkenness and stealing and fraudulent life. Now you are in hellfire. And then you are telling people to send preachers to go and tell them to repent. It is too late to cry when the head has been chopped off. It is too late to cry when the head has been shut up. Now is the time of salvation. Right now is the moment of salvation for you to give your life to Jesus Christ and turn from your wicked ways, confess your sin. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever shall confess and forsake shall have mercy. That is the word of God for you. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall arise, and we who are alive shall be caught up to be with him. Are you ready for that? A lot of people will be left behind. Then Jesus said in Matthew 24, the two shall be grinding at the well. One is going to heaven, the other one is left behind. Two people shall be driving around. One is going to heaven, the other one is left behind. When the trumpet shall sound, will you be ready for the Lord Jesus to rapture you to the kingdom of God? Or you will be entangled with the worldly pursuit to the point where you will not remember your Bible, you will not pray, you will not seek the Lord, you will not give yourself to the Lord Jesus, and the devil come and carry you and put you in hellfire. Now is the time for you to repent and turn away from your wicked ways so that you can have eternal life. What shall it profit you if it shall gain the whole world and suffer the loss of your soul? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. We are going to pray right now. Our prayer is, Lord, help me not to miss heaven like that rich man. If Jesus did all these things and yet we did not repent, I don't want to be like that rich man who went to hellfire because of his callous life. I want to make heaven. I want to follow Jesus to the kingdom of God. I don't want to miss it. That's our prayer tonight. Wherever you are joining us in this broadcast, I want you to bow your head, and I want you to join us in this prayer that the Lord Jesus, you come into your heart and be your personal Lord and Savior and save you eternally so that you can have life and life more abundantly. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross and died on the cross, shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Let him come into your heart today. Let him come into your life today in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, we pray for everyone who have heard your word. Let your word find a place in them. They will be doers of this word and not just hearers alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, God be with your people. Save them even to the altar. Let them know the truth, that the truth shall set them free. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, I want to thank every one of you for joining this broadcast. For those who have never been going to church, because I saw the list of people, I saw that some of you have not been going to church before. I will encourage you to look for a Bible-believing church where you can worship God and be a member and have a pastor watch over your life and teach you the word of God. Because I see that some of you, I can see your names, and I noticed some of you are not member. You need to join a Bible-believing church where you hear the word of God and get saved and be born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very important. So we want to thank every one of you for being part of this broadcast. The Lord bless you. Tomorrow we have another section. Anytime, it's going to be before 12 noon. I'll have another section tomorrow. That might be 10 a.m. or 11. We're going to be talking about the ascension. The ascension is an area a lot of people don't talk about, but it's very important what happened at the ascension when Jesus had to leave on Mount Holy. What was his last word? What did he say to the disciples? And what did it mean, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the angel came down and said, this same Jesus is coming back again. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. That's going to be before 12 noon, maybe somewhere around 10 o'clock or so. God bless you all. Please forward this message, email it, text it out, share it, tweet it, and let people know the truth, that the truth shall set them free, the name of Jesus. Jesus loves you. We all love you. And we say, God bless you all. Thank you so much for your cooperation. God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Yes, Ma, thank you, Ma.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Hi, Smolly,
yes, God bless
sir.
You. Yes,
yes,
fine.
I love to, huh? Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, Ma.
Yes, sir.
It's good to praise the Lord, hallelujah. It is good to praise the Lord.